Good morning, everyone. Great to see everybody this Lord's Day morning. Had excellent singing this morning. Really appreciate it. Sounded very well from where I was sitting. This morning, I want to talk to you a topic that many people have thought about but never could really put their grasp on it. It's a topic that several questions have been asked. People ask, how long is it? Where will it be? What will it be like? How long will it last? And is it something to fear? Yes, as you can see behind me, we're talking about eternity. And what exactly will eternity be like? This morning, go ahead and be turning to your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. This will be the bulk of where our lesson comes from today in Luke chapter 16. But before we get into our story, I want to tell you another story. And this story was told to me, Colleen actually told me this last night as a comparison of eternity. And I want you to think about it. When I read this story to you, I want you to put some thought into it and see where the professor is going with his students in this story. There was once a professor who taught a class on the topic of eternity. On the first day of class, he took a piece of chalk and he made the beginning of a timeline on the blackboard. He then took his chalk and drew the line across the board, but then he proceeded to walk around the four walls of the room. Then he proceeded to walk out of the room and out the door. The students were very perplexed. They had a look of confusion on their face. They wasn't sure exactly what to do. Should they stay in class or should they leave? The professor was gone. They decided to sit, though, and wait for the duration of the class. But the professor never returned. The rest of the day, the professor was spotted walking outside with that chalk held in his hand and just keeping on walking across campus. He never stopped that day, and he kept on walking for the rest of the day. The particular professor made his point that day. Eternity does not have any boundaries. It can't be set in a timeline because it will never, ever stop. Eternity is only the beginning of time, really. He was trying to tell his students that you can't put a grasp on eternity, for it will never end. The professor could have held that chalk and walked the rest of his life and never equaled a moment of eternity. And it's hard to consider that fact, isn't it? I remember as a kid, I used to sit outside, and after Bible class, I'd wonder. We talked about eternity one day. I wondered, eternity, what is that? They said it will never end, but I don't understand that concept. Because I know it's appointed for once man to die, and then the judgment, and then what? Die again? No. For a faithful Christian, you live on forever in heaven. But Luke chapter 16 gives an interesting story. To set the story up, you have a rich man. And this rich man has everything he's ever wanted in his life. This rich man is well off. He's well-to-do. He's got everything he ever needed and wanted. And also you're introduced to a man as a poor man. His name was Lazarus. He sat at the rich man's door each and every day. And that's where our story really picks up. There was a rich man, verse 19, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate, though, laid a poor man whose name was Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed from what was fallen from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in the matter bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed, in order that those who pass from here to you may not be able, and none may be able to cross from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also may come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, and then they will repent. And he said unto him, though, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced that someone should rise from the dead. Eternity. It's going to last forever. And for these two men, eternity occurred right after their death. Right after their death, they knew exactly where they were going. Like I said earlier, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it's appointed for man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So we see eternity will come directly after you will vanish from this earth. Is there any fear in eternity, though? Hopefully my PowerPoint will start working this morning. If not, I'll just have to click it. There it goes. Eternity, though, can be very fearful for some. For many, actually, it will be very fearful. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, the Bible said, after he died, was in constant fear and anguish. As a matter of fact, verse 23 says he was in constant torment. His body was being burned by fire, according to verse 24. He was trapped in a state of forever, and he could not get out of it. Verses 25 through 26. Why, you might ask, why did this come about to the rich man? Had he done anything wrong? Well, the Bible says he had everything he ever wanted. Obviously, he was taken care of, but what was it about the rich man's state, though? The rich man never seemed to make a change in his life. He never seemed to ever acknowledge the poor man that was sitting at his gate day after day. He also never turned to serve God, it seems like. Eternity can be very fearful, especially for the rich man. But at the same time, remember the poor man and remember the blessings that he received. In our text, the poor man Lazarus was taken up to heaven because God had remembered his faithful servant. Sure, you might think the poor man endured many disappointments, many hardships, many agonizing times while he was upon this earth, but that was nothing compared to the riches he would receive in eternity. Why? Because God remembered his servant, and God kept his promise, just as he will keep it for us as well. The promise is eternal life. The promise of eternal life is explained this morning in the reading that was given to us in John chapter 11, verses 20 through 27. And I'm not going to read back over it. I just want to give you a little bit of insight at some of the key verses I want you to look at. Like we said, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, another Lazarus in the Bible, of Bethany, had become ill. As a matter of fact, he had become so ill, he dies. And while Jesus was away, he receives news of his best friend dying. And it was this time that Jesus received the news that he wept bitterly. It was his best friend that had just died. And he waited a couple of days to go see him. A few days went by, and he goes to visit Mary and Martha and the family. And the first thing that Martha asked Jesus, she ran up to him and she said, Lord, my brother is dead. If you would have been here, though, he would not have died. But look in verse 22. Even now I know, whatever you ask from God, God will give. That was a statement that Martha made. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus proceeded to tell her, I am the resurrection of life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said, I do believe, Lord. The question that was asked, though, do you believe it, Martha? Yes, I believe it. And I pose the same question to you today. Do you believe it? Because it's coming. It's going to happen. Eternity is just the next step in life for a faithful Christian. But Martha knew it very well. And Jesus did as well. But what is our thought about it? When you think about eternity, there's really two sides of eternity. You have both heaven and hell. And what I want to talk about to start off with is heaven. Because I want to talk about it to you faithful Christians that are here today. It will be the greatest reward you will ever find out. Heaven is written about several times in the Bible. One of the most famous quotes comes from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And if you remember, the passage that was written by a man of John. John was in exile. He had been banished from the land. He was on the island of Patmos. He didn't have many people around him at all. He didn't have much to look forward to, did he? He was by himself. But I want you to look and see what John wrote about heaven. He was given an opportunity by God to catch just a glimpse of it. Just a tiny split second, really, of what eternity would be like. And here's what he wrote. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And then I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Did you get that? Did you get that marvelous picture that John just painted in your minds? John said there would be no more tears, no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering, for God has fulfilled his promise. That was a scene, brethren, that the poor man Lazarus was able to see as well. He was there. He was living his eternal destination of heaven. And he knew exactly the blessings that God had promised him. And you know, heaven will surely be worth it all. We've seen that song numerous occasions. Heaven will surely be worth it all. It'll be worth all the riches. Everything you can ever imagine will be heaven. Because God kept his promise to those who faithfully serve him. But I also don't want to go over the fact that there'll be heaven, yes. And it will be the greatest thing you've ever seen, but also there will also be a hell. Heaven will surely be worth it all, but just as there is an eternal home of heaven, there is also an eternal condemnation of hell. Various scholars, writers, and everyday people try to put a tab on hell and what it would be like. Many people become guilty in describing family tragedies, financial struggles, or even deep agony as resembling the hell of the Bible. But brethren, none of that comes close to what hell would really be like. The word hell appears 23 times in the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says it will be a place for those who do not obey the gospel and those who know not God. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, John spoke of the fact that Satan was cast in that lake of fire and brimstone and tormented day and night forever and ever. Matthew 22 and verse 13 says, Hell will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine that? I cannot honestly imagine that. I don't see how this could happen. I've never experienced anything that the Bible talks about hell, and I pray that I will never experience it. One writer gave his own description of hell, what it might look like. And this is just a description he wrote down, but it's very haunting, the words that he wrote. He said that hell is to be shut off from all joy, light, and life. It is to be deprived of the good things that you have tasted in life, but never appreciated. It is to be shut out of God's presence, cut off from all that is good and wholesome. It is to be cut off from all the love and peace and joy forever. Jesus explains that once people realize this, once they realize what they missed, the effect on them will be devastating. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is an unspeakable, somber picture. This is a quote that really got me. Men seldom weep, but in hell men will weep uncontrollably. It is not just weeping, it is the weeping. It will never stop. And like I said earlier, hell is a place that I hope that none of you will ever see. And I hope that I will never see. But people often ask the question, can I change my eternal destination? Is there any way, Lord, that I can change my life before I get to go to hell? Is there any way, Lord, that there's something that I can be saved from this awful place? There is. And people ask the question, can I change my eternal destination? Yes. In this life, you have every opportunity to change where you're going. But in the afterlife, as the rich man found out, there's no way to change it. You're set in stone. It's forever and ever. Remember in Luke chapter 16 and verse 26, Abraham told the rich man of the great gulf that was fixed between them and that no one could ever cross it. You see, the rich man's eternal destination had been set, but you still have a chance to make that change in your life. The Bible tells the sinner specific instructions in the transformation of his soul. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Notice the key word there. All have sinned. Everyone in this room has done something wrong. Everyone in this room has been separated from God one way or another through sin. What then, though? Is all hope lost? No. As a matter of fact, tonight the young men will deliver their sermons on exposure and report on it. And they will tell you that hope is never lost. There's always going to be a hope, but it's only up to us to take it. And that's what they will be previewing tonight. But hope is never lost. Realize that God renewed the hope of salvation by sending his only son, Jesus. John 3:16, the most quoted verse in the entire Bible, tells us that hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's the key right there. Eternal life is made through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. But that's just one more step. There's another one that comes behind it. God has also given us a way to restore us into eternal life. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4 gives you the answer. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, that we too may live forever. One can inherit eternal life by putting on Christ into baptism and living a faithful Christian life while upon this earth. And brethren, this is the only way you can change your eternal destination. Baptism and living faithfully unto death is the only way that you can change your life. So I say in conclusion this morning, is eternity really something to fear? Is it something to be afraid of? Well, for a faithful Christian, it's nothing to fear. It is just the next step into eternity. It's just the next step into eternal life. Revelations 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." The Bible says that death is only the beginning of a new life that is coming in heaven for the faithful Christian. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58. I want to leave you with this scripture from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. And you might want to underline this as well. 51 states, "Listen, I tell you in a mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you, and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor will not be in vain." Don't ever give up, because eternity is just on the horizon for a faithful Christian. It may be this morning that you see that you need to make a change in your life. It may be that you're headed down the wrong road and you've got to make that change before eternity hits. It may be the case that you need to renew your life and repent of your past sins and get back on the correct way towards heaven. There also may be the case that you're not a Christian this morning, and you want to walk down that eternal road towards heaven, and you want to make things right. And I can't tell you a better day than today to put on Christ in baptism. If you need to make a change in your life, why not come now as together?